I wanted to circle back to a little bit of your pre-dialysis experiences, and then we'll share whatever, or I'm, you know, share whatever you want. Did you know anything about kidney disease or risk factors for kidney disease prior to learning of your of your diagnosis?
One of the departments that reported to me was dialysis in my job. And it just so happened that, as an executive, I never gave it a second thought. It was another department that I had to manage on a day in and day out basis. So I never thought about kidney disease. It was, like I said earlier, it wasn't really a conversation with my doctor until about 6 months before I was in end stage, and we never talked about it within my family. So I knew peripherally that being diabetic and having high blood pressure put you at higher risk for kidney disease, but I never really made that association with me personally. Had I did, I would have made different choices with my, along my life, my entire life. But yeah, it's not uncommon that people who end up on dialysis never saw a nephrologist, never saw a dietitian, never got stage one, two, three, or four counseling and mediation for the disease. And that's tragic, And, I got my own research and ideas as to why that is the case that I'll save for a couple of papers down the line. But there's definitely a need for prevention from renal disease and, chronic kidney disease as a whole, not just end-stage renal disease. We wait until end stage is we waited too long. So I knew about it, but I just never associated with me, which I think a lot of people find themselves in that boat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How can the ESRD networks help people who crash into dialysis?
That's a good question. Again, I can't speak for every person because there's so many different dynamics that come along with the number of people that come into dialysis. But I would definitely say for me and the number of people that I have run into, emotional support is important. And when you look at the dialysis clinics and understand that that's not something that's reimbursable, so that's probably not something that's going to be added on to their list of to-dos on a daily basis. We need to find other ways to provide that support, and whether that support is through external sources that the ESRD network could bring to bear, or if that's from projects like peer counseling and things like that. There's just so many emotions that come along with that diagnosis and that dialysis treatment, and having all of those emotions going on at that time makes it exceptionally difficult for you to make rational decisions. So just the behavioral health state that you are in can keep you from being open to peritoneal dialysis, home dialysis. It can keep you from being open to getting help from people to make sure that you're not putting too much stress on yourself. It can make you open to transplant in a way that you possibly would not have been open to transplant before because of a depression or because of, depressed mood or whatever it is. To find those resources would be awesome, and if the ESRD network could help with that, that would be great. I also think that being proactive and reaching out to people who crash into dialysis is important, because at that point, the point of entry, the point of origin, when you realize that this is now a part of your life and not an insignificant part, a consequential part of your life, you've got to understand that you have to be your own advocate, that you have to, there's plenty of resources out there when you feel like the care isn't what you need it to be. There's plenty of other places for you to get dialysis from. There's plenty of other doctors to, I mean, they work for you. You pay them. If you're not getting what you need from them, you need to move on and find another doctor and not feel like that this is your lot in life. And that is most effective before that patient starts to feel like they're just another number. So to be more proactive at reaching out to patients at the initiation of the dialysis treatment, I think the ESRD network could be very helpful with that.
That is great, because we have, as part of the work that we might be doing with our future work that we'll be doing with CMS, some of it is around that behavioral health. And we will be reaching out to try to get to community-based coalitions and trying to reach people before they do that crash. So your insight, both as coming from the hospital administration side, as well as a person that is very active in a variety of communities that touch upon ESRD, it is just so insightful, because you can help us understand if you're a person who is not being followed by a nephrologist, might not have the benefit of hearing about kidney health. What are some of those other ways we can reach them, whether that is maybe community, something around their focus of their social network? How can we get these people to be more at least aware, so they are capable of advocating for their health, advocating for themselves? And it might not be just related to ESRD and the or care around the kidney, but care in general. You know, how is it that the diabetic patients come to self-advocate and provide their self-care, that they seem that in a general sense, they seem to be doing really well? And you know, how can we bring that, I guess, acknowledgement and work energy to other treatments like chronic kidney disease?
Shane, you're starting to sound like a community psychologist over there, man. I mean,
seriously,
that is exactly what we do. Yeah,
I feel like I just have verbal diarrhea right now, and I very much apologize.
No. That we need those types of ideas and those types of initiatives that make use of the learned knowledge that people have in the community. So that we're not just saying, hey, you're eating unhealthily, you need to do better or you're going to end up with kidney disease, just like grandma and pawpaw or nana or big mama, whoever it is the matriarch or patriarch of your family. But you can't just throw that at people in destitute circumstances. You can't just throw that at people who are already trying to, you know, doing the best to find a way to make ends meet. But if you can find people in the community who already have done that because they have some kind of learned knowledge that just needs to be dispersed within the area, talking to them and finding out the better ways to do this has proven in other research to be a much better way to go about this than just having people in the halls of power to decide as to what is the best way to impact these people whose lives I don't truly understand. So it's definitely a goal of mine to be involved in that type of work where we are empowering people as opposed to trying to fix people. And we're accepting end-stage renal disease, kidney disease, chronic kidney disease, wherever we want to touch it and whatever we want to call it. When we stop looking at people as the problem, you know, especially when we talked a little bit about disparities. Now I got the verbal diarrhea, Shane, but we talked a little bit about disparities and we said, you know, this is affecting Black and Brown communities at a different rate than it's affecting white communities. And there's a reason for that. And we have to say these people are victims of a circumstance in a lot of cases. And we need to do more than just try to bring health equality to this. We need to bring health equity to this. And we need to make constant and concerted efforts to try to bring people back to an even space, as opposed to just saying, do this and you'll be better.
Well, well said. Absolutely. Anything anything else that you want to touch upon? Is there anyone on my team who has another question? Anything else that we can pick your brain on? I want to be respectful of your time. Talking with you is such a treat, and thank you so much. Am I missing anything?
No, Shane, I think you covered it really, really well. Mr. Davis, is there anything, or Ernest, sorry. I always catch myself. Is there anything else you wanted to add that you want to put out there?
You know, I am hoping that this gets to patients and that it's more than people in the business and people that are working on this day to day that get to hear this message. And if there were a couple of things I could close with, it would be specifically to patients. One is, if you feel depressed, if you feel like this is too much to handle, get help. I had never thought about seeing a therapist until I got to ESRD, and I don't think I could have got through it without having my therapist. Now, there's a lot of people that can lean on family networks and things like that, and if you have that and that can get you back to a place of good behavioral health and good mental health, do that. But if you need to go and see someone, please, 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 please. It's common. It's natural. In a lot of cases, it's a side effect of drugs, and people don't tell us that, especially after transplantation. A lot of those anti-rejection drugs, a side effect of them is depression. And we need to take it upon ourselves to say, I'm not feeling my best self, and go get help. And the second thing I would say is, you can be a statistic. Don't let that happen to you. Stand up for yourself. Find your resources, the resources that you can understand, the resources that somebody can help you understand, whatever it is that can allow you to be active in your care and to own your care. Don't be a statistic. Be an active patient. Be an engaged and activated patient.